I would invite your attention this morning to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 will be the focus of our continued study in this book of Luke of the life of Jesus. Once again, the subject matter, the topic is Jesus. And when we're finished today, the goal is that you know Jesus better than you did when we started. Speaking of Jesus here, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Don McCaslin, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, at this point in the life and the ministry of Jesus, Jesus is back in his hometown. And the hometown, of course, being Nazareth. And he's at the point, as he goes back to his hometown, he's somewhat of a celebrity. Celebrity is not a real good word here, but everybody knew who he was, and everybody knew what he had been up to. They had heard of the miraculous deeds that he had performed in other areas, and now it came the Sabbath day, and him being back home in his hometown, it's time to go to the synagogue. And it says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue, which I find that encouraging, reminding me where we should be on the day of worship, right? You know, you hear people say, "Well, I don't go to church because of hypocrites." Listen, then Jesus' day, there wasn't any bigger hypocrites than those that were in the synagogue, but he still went to worship. So just a reminder to you, we come here to worship, not to look at hypocrites. Amen? But Jesus has gone to the synagogue, and as he enters there, as he arrives there, he's given the opportunity to read and elaborate on Scripture. And so he's handed the book of Isaiah. And as he's handed the book of Isaiah, he turns over to Isaiah chapter 61 and reads verses 1 and 2. And that's what we read here in the text in Luke, verses 18 and 19. You can go back later and look. It's Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. But as he reads, what we discover is the ministry of the Messiah. As a matter of fact, that's what this text is about. Everyone in that synagogue knew this was a prophecy of the Messiah. Now, I want to ask you to do something today a little bit different. But just so you'll understand where these people in the synagogue were at this time, I want to ask you to imagine a time before Jesus came. You know Jesus Christ is the Messiah, right? Okay. We're all in agreement there, and I'm not telling you to wipe out from your mind who Jesus is, but I want you to imagine with me, if you were in this setting, it's before the Messiah has been revealed. And so as you sit here, you know this is messianic prophecy, but you don't know who the Messiah is, and you don't know when He's coming. But you're certainly excited about the concept of the coming Messiah. And so Jesus, in the synagogue that day, as I said, opens the book of Isaiah, turns to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and He begins to read. And everybody, I mean, this is one of those messages that everybody wants to hear, because this is good news for everybody. He begins to read about the Messiah, and the first thing He reads there about the Messiah is that I'm come to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, when we think of poor, we think of people who don't have any money. But literally, actually, as it's used in the Greek text, the word poor means one dependent on another for support. We'd say one who can't help themselves. Jesus reads this first claim of the Messiah, or mission of the Messiah. And that first mission being helping those who can't help themselves. And Israel could relate to this because Israel was under Roman rule, and it was their thorn in the flesh. They were considered themselves a people of God to be ruled by God alone Himself. So it was the greatest contempt for them to be under the control of the Roman government. But they couldn't do anything about it. So can you imagine this Jew sitting there hearing this? The Messiah is coming. And He's coming to help those who can't help themselves. Can you imagine the pride, the swelling up of, oh, God's coming and He's going to set things in order. That's kind of the atmosphere there was there. But you know, there was a bigger problem that they had that they just didn't understand. Their problem wasn't the Roman government. Their problem was that they couldn't help themselves out of the sinful condition that they were in. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 reminds me of that. It says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. You see, their problem was not the Roman government. Their problem was sin. And I just remind you today, if you sit here, you know, and with the concept of you have not yet been introduced to the Messiah, I want you to know the one problem that you have in your life is sin. You are a sinner. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And I know we call it illness today, and we call it mistakes today. But, you know, and it's not politically correct to use the word sin. But I'll tell you what, sin's just as much sin as it was now, or as it was 2,000 years ago. Okay? That's the problem. And the problem is people can't help themselves. Oh, I try to be good. How many try to be good? Okay, 14 out of 250. Oh man, this message is never going to end. How many try to be good? All right, now there we go. How's it working out for you? Well, I'll tell you, for me, I have a real trouble with it. Oh, I may go a few hours. I may even push way on up into the day, but somewhere along the day, or somewhere in the day, I just, this thing called sin gets me. Can't seem to do anything with it. I can't seem to do anything about it. I can't seem to stop it. As I think about this text and I hear the words that He's come, the Messiah is coming to preach the gospel, the good news to those who can't help themselves, I'm thinking, oh, that's me. Because I have a problem. That problem being sin. Oh, but the text didn't stop there. The ministry of the Messiah, He continued to read. And He come not only to heal or to preach the gospel to the poor, but to heal the brokenhearted. That word heal means literally to restore the shattered or crushed heart. Israel was a people who had been spiritually broken. I mean, They had the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and all these religious leaders that were glad to receive their offerings and tell them what they should and should not do. But see, there was a problem. The problem was inside. Your average Jew didn't have a clue that God wanted to have a relationship with him. That was the problem. They were broken inside. You know, I look around and I see a lot of religion in the world today. I look around and I see people wearing religious symbols, crosses around their neck, and people going to churches and assembling. And there are a lot of signs of religion. But I want to tell you, religion doesn't address the problem. The problem is you're broken on the inside. Okay? You can have all the religion you want. You can call yourself Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, or anything else you want to call. But listen, if the inside's not fixed, you're still broken. And if you haven't met the Messiah who fixes the inside, you're still broken. I look around, I see addicts today. We look in our city, we look in our state, and we see addicts, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. We look around a little farther, we see broken homes, destroyed by divorce, destroyed by infidelity. We look around a little farther, we see people who are just hopeless. What's the problem? The problem is we're broke. Same problem that the Jews had in that day. They were broke on the inside. Oh, but the Messiah was coming to heal the brokenhearted. The Messiah was coming to proclaim liberty to the captives, Jesus said. That word proclaim is an interesting word. You need to get this definition. That word proclaim means to have an official announcement or to present an official announcement. This is one of those that you know, it's not idle conversation. It's, I've got something official straight from God for you. And literally what it means is I've got an official announcement of pardon to the captives or the prisoners of war. You see, the deeper problem with Israel was they were stuck in a sentence of death because they were sinners. Jesus, as he reads here, as he reads this particular line, proclaim liberty to the captives, he's saying the Messiah is coming with an official pardon just for you. You know, I think about the broken insides that may be here this morning. I think about those who can't help themselves. And I think about the good news that there is an official announcement coming that there's a pardon from God. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, isn't that exciting? But he didn't stop there. He goes on, recovery of sight to the blind. The Messiah is coming to recover sight to the blind. And he's speaking not of a physical sight, even though Jesus did heal quite a few blind people in his ministry. He's talking about spiritual sight. The problem is that people can't see. The problem in that day with the Jews is they just could not see because they did not have spiritual sight. The problem being, 2 Corinthians 4:4, as it's described, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, whose image of God should shine on them. Do you realize the problem today is that people just don't get it? And the reason they don't get it is because they can't see. You know, there are a lot of causes out there that sound good. It sounds good not to you know, it sounds good to say, I'm not going to discriminate against those who choose an ungodly lifestyle. That sounds good. Okay? And don't get me wrong, I don't think we should be abusive toward anyone. Okay? However, there are lifestyles that we can't afford to support. Right? And the problem is this. The people are blind to their sin. They can't see it. And when we say, no, that's a sinful, that is a wrong, sinful lifestyle, they say, oh my goodness, that's not correct. Who are you? Well, I tell you, I'm nobody. But I do read the Word of God. And if the Word of God says it's wrong, if the Word of God says it's sin, it's still sin. And it doesn't matter what you think. The problem is spiritual blindness, not being able to identify those things that are evil in the sight of the Lord. But the Messiah, He says, coming to give sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That literally, if you took that line and put it in our language, it means to release one from a legal debt. You know what He's saying? This sounds awesome. This sounds great. The Messiah is coming to pay your debt. How many of you have debts? Okay, 14 out of 200. Okay, the rest of you, I want to see you after church because I'm going to give you an opportunity to take on my debt, okay? The Messiah is coming to pay your debt. He's not talking about money, right? He's talking about your spiritual debt. I want to tell you something. We've already talked about sin. We've already talked about the evil and not being able to see sinful ways. But that whether you see it or not does not excuse you from the fact that you are liable for your sin. Okay? You are liable, meaning you're responsible for your sin. The problem is you can't pay for it. Okay? You can't pay for it. So what this is saying, what this is Jesus is reading to these Jews is when the Messiah comes, when the Messiah comes, He's going to pay your debt, your sin debt. But they don't get it. And here's the best part of what Jesus read. To proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the year of Jubilee. Okay? In the year of Jubilee, every 50 years... Okay, there was the year of Jubilee. And in the year of Jubilee, debts were forgiven. I think we ought to have that today, don't you? Come on, amen. All debts forgiven. Boom. Debts forgiven. Slaves were set free. Land was returned. Or land that had been sold was returned to its original owner. I mean, everything was set back like it was supposed to be. It was a year of new start. It was a time when things were set back like God wanted them to be. So as Jesus, as He closes the second verse, He's gone down the list of sight to the blind, liberty to the captives, and He's ending with, and the Messiah is going to set things back like they're supposed to be. Now, if you're a Jew and you're sitting in that synagogue service, you're going to say, yes, no more Roman government. Yes. Now we will be accountable only to God Himself. Yes, the Messiah is coming. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Then Jesus closes that book, gives it to the attendant, and sets down. Now when you read this and you see sets down, you think He just... It's like me ending a message, closing my Bible, and going there and sit down, and it's over. That's not what it was. When what I've studied, and my understanding is, they would read it, they would close it, give it back, sit down. That was assuming the teaching position and begin to elaborate on scriptures. Okay, so as Jesus sits down, He's not finished. He's just ready to explain to them about this scripture. So He sits down, and every eye is upon Him. Now imagine this. We've been playing the imagination game. But imagine this. He has just told you everything you want to hear. There's coming a day of deliverance. There's coming a day of freedom. There's coming a day when everything is set back in order. And if you're a Jew, you're saying, yes, 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 yes. And He sits down, and everybody's looking at Him. And Jesus said, today the Scripture is fulfilled. To put it in our language, Jesus is saying, I'm the one. I'm the one. Can you imagine the shock and the awe as Jesus says, it's me. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah that's going to bring this stuff that Isaiah prophesied to pass. You know, and I point out back in verse 17 where we begin, the prophet Isaiah, he handed him the book of the prophet Isaiah. You know, it's easy to skip over that word prophet, but the thing about a prophet is he prophesies. And the thing about prophecy is, if it's real, one of these days it's going to come to pass. And the thing is, you know, we read about prophecy. It's one thing to read about it. It's another thing and get excited about it. But it's another thing to see it unfold before your very eyes. At this point, Jesus has them in the palm of His hand. And He says, I am the one handpicked by God to deliver the helpless. I'm the one handpicked by God to set the prisoners of war free. I am the one to pay the debt of sin. I'm the one to set things in rightful order. And the rabbis are going, whoa, whoa. And here's where we wind up. The Messiah rejected. You see, as Jesus said, I'm the one, somebody remembered, hey, is this not Joseph's son? Wait, we know this guy. We know his family. We know his mom. We know his dad. We know he was raised as a carpenter. He's never had any formal spiritual training. I've known this guy as a child before, you know, I have known him everyday life. I just don't know about this. But I'll tell you what, Jesus, physician, heal yourself. He's not, they're not talking about do something for himself. They're talking about, okay, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you'll do some things that we have heard that you've been doing in other places, do them here. Do them here. And we might believe you. And Jesus reminded them of the days of Elijah. When Elijah the prophet was going through, and the region was going through a tremendous famine. He said, remember that time when Israel was in tremendous famine and Elijah the prophet was sent to this one lady, Zarephath? There were a lot of widows in that day, but there was only one Zarephath and Elijah was sent only to her. Guess what? I haven't been sent to you to perform those miracles. That show that you want to see. He went on. Remember in the days of Elisha. There were a lot of lepers in the days of Elisha, but the only one healed was Naaman. And you know what really got them fired up? What really got them fired up was these were two heathen Gentiles. Whoa! Wait a minute. You who say you're the one that's fulfilling this Messiah role. Are you telling me that you'd rather minister to Gentiles than perform miracles here among your own people? I don't think so. And they exploded. They blew up. Said, we'll show you. And they grabbed Jesus, carried him out of the synagogue, and they carried him out of the city, and they carried him onto the brow of a hill and said, we'll show you, old boy, we'll throw you off. Been there. Beautiful place. But it's a long way down. And you know, the scripture closes with Jesus. How did it put it? I don't want to misquote it. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. You know what happened? They blew up. They didn't like what Jesus offered. They're going to throw him off a cliff. And so Jesus says, okay. They get out there to the cliff. And Jesus walks right through the middle of them and just walks away. And nobody knew where he was. Nobody knew where he was. Just like me walking through, you know, the middle of y'all. And y'all say, where'd the preacher go? Where'd he go? That's what happened. Here's what I want you to get today. Okay? I asked you to imagine a time when you didn't know who the Messiah was. Well, there are people here today who do not know who the Messiah is, and I want to introduce him to you. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth, who lived a sinless life and went to the cross of Calvary because you are a sinner. And he came to pay the debt of your sin. That's part of this prophecy. He went to that cross of Calvary. He suffered. He died all for you. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. And today is alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father. That is the Messiah. Now, you can trust religion. You can say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Pentecost, I'm whateverist you want to be. But if you have not received the forgiveness and the salvation that's offered by the Messiah, you are not a child of God. And you can reject it. You can be like these people. Well, you know, Jesus, he doesn't do it my way. It's not about doing it your way. It's about doing it God's way. Are you a child of God? Have you received the Messiah? If not, why not? Because you're stubborn? See, that was the problem with the Jews there in the synagogue at Nazareth. When Jesus said, today the scripture is fulfilled, they said, oh no, wait a minute, prove it. Prove it. You may be here today, and as I tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He is the only way to heaven, you're going to say, prove it. Here's the proof. How many people do you know who have died for the sins of others? And not just for the sin of one, but the sin of everyone on this planet. Do you realize Jesus Christ gave Himself for every low down sinner that exists? And that's you and me, by the way. Today, the Scripture is fulfilled. What are you going to do with it? You have to make a choice. A choice of either receiving Jesus or rejecting Jesus. And I will offer you this. We're at the point of the message today, the message now that I want you to know that Jesus is here. But I also want you to know if you reject Jesus, He'll walk out of here and you'll never know He was here. Can you imagine missing the opportunity to have a personal relationship with the hand-picked, anointed Messiah of God? When Jesus walked out, they never knew it. Folks, Jesus Christ is here today. We have the promise of His Word that where two or three are gathered together, He's in our midst. We also have the promise of His Word of whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have the promise of His Word that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Bottom line, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? He proved His love for you by the sacrifice He made for you. What are you going to do with Him? I know that today the politically correct thing is let's just all hold hands and we're all trying to get to the same place and we'll all go to heaven. But that's not Bible. Okay? The Bible says there's one way to heaven. That way is Jesus Christ. What have you done with Jesus? Brother Doug, I know, and one of these days I'm going to make a commitment. Quit putting it off. Stop it. You don't know that you're going to have one of these days. Oh, but Brother Doug, I'm young. It doesn't matter. Read the obituaries. Death is not, death does not spare people because they're young. Oh, Brother Doug, I'll do it next week. No. Right now, Jesus is dealing with you. You have to deal with Jesus. And to not make a decision is to make a decision to reject Him. What are you going to do with the Messiah? And understand, I'm emphasizing the word Messiah. the Savior. What are you going to do with Him? Got to make a choice. Got to decide. Will you be saved today? Listen, I'm not trying to get in your face. I'm trying to do whatever it takes for you to be saved. Okay? For you to see the urgency. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But as a child of God, I know who holds tomorrow. That no matter what, that if this life is over, I have a place prepared for me eternal in the heavens. Because I have received Jesus. Have you? It's time for you to do business with Jesus, the Messiah. What will you do? Our Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for the revelation that He is the Savior, the Messiah, the One who will save us from our sins. Thank You, Lord, for the call that goes out today to everyone. That call of salvation. Lord, I pray that we will do business with Jesus today. It's too vital, it's too urgent to let it pass. So, Lord, move among us. I pray that everyone here that's lost will come to You for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.